passage by passage. We're in chapter 6 tonight. And, you know, this is a powerful book, and praise God for it. And Paul, we've been developing, Paul has developed in the book of Romans a solid case. We all know this to be true for total depravity of man. Man's problem is the sin. We like to sit back and analyze it, and we like to sit back and talk about, well, they were raised this way and they were raised this way. But the bottom line is the problem with man, like the brother said, is our total depravity. We are sinners by birth and we're sinners by choice. And so we understand that the Apostle Paul has a solid case for total depravity of man. He's given the undeniable need for salvation in the book of Romans. He's shown us the way of salvation. It's in Jesus Christ, by faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. And he has proven the inability to obtain salvation through works or adhering to the law or the traditions of men. Now, we've been dealing with all of that all the way up through chapter 5. Salvation is a wonderful and gracious experience with eternal benefits, but it is the beginning of a lifelong journey with the Lord. Salvation is just the beginning. You speak to so many people and they're like, oh yeah, I'm saved, like that's the end. No, that's just the beginning of the journey. And salvation is received by faith in the Lord. But it's not all that is expected of us once we are saved. That starts the journey after salvation. One is expected to grow. We're to mature. We're not to remain a baby. We're to walk with the Lord. Our lives are to resemble the Lord Jesus and be Christ-like as we continue to know Him. We're to be more like Him every day. As we grow in the Lord, He uses us for His glory and the advancement of the kingdom. This growing process is often spoken in theological terms. We're going to deal with that one of those words today, sanctification. Now, I will encourage all of you, if you've not taken the evening school of the Bible, you need to take it. It will be encouraging for you. It will be helpful for you. We'll go through one particular subject that I think every Christian ought to have is Bible doctrines. That's knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And be solid and settled and steadfast in what you believe, knowing what the Bible teaches. And so we ought to be growing in the Lord. But many times we see some words that we might not necessarily use today, but the Lord uses, or the Apostle Paul is speaking in theological terms. And this one word we're going to look at today, tonight, is sanctification. In chapter 6, Paul begins to address the sanctification of believers. We're not saved and sidelined for future glory. There is a life to live for the Lord while we're here on earth. I'm glad the Lord has given us instruction on living a sanctified life through His Word. So I want to just look at a couple things tonight that I hope will help us when we think about this thought: death to sin. Death to sin through Christ. Death to sin. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And all God's people said. Heavenly Father, we ask you, help us now these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this thought, death to sin, we're going to look at the first 7 verses. We have to look at the first verse, verse 1. And as you read this passage of Scripture, you understand something. There's obviously some confusion. He's dealing with confusion. Because he asked a question. Now, this is a question that he's asked, no doubt, because he's dealing with it, no doubt. He's heard or he's seen someone deal with this subject. And I want you to notice the confusion. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So there's some confusion. He's addressing this matter of death to sin and sanctification in Christ. And he's found some confusion here because here's the argument. And we hear it today. We hear it today some. Here's the argument. Well, I'll tell you right now, we need to continue in sin because if we sin, grace abounds more. And I've heard people say, well, it's okay to go out here and do wrong. All you got to do is ask God and he'll forgive you for it. Y'all ever heard anybody talk like that? Oh, he's a forgiving God. And by the way, he is. This is a faulty argument. This is a dangerous way to live. And he's trying to deal with this argument because if grace is greater than sin, they're saying, well, shouldn't we continue to sin that sin might abound? Many use this teaching, though. I'm going to tell you what they use this teaching for, and I've heard it and you've heard it. It's like they use it as a license to sin. They use it as a license to sin. The argument's faulty, but he's dealing with it. And so you say, well, how clear and dogmatic was he? You know, sometimes preachers and people get accused because they're so dogmatic. But I want you to know there's nothing more dogmatic than this. The argument was given, but I want you to know something. Jesus gave the answer strong and clear. Look at verse 2. God forbid. Do you know what he said? He said, no. No. No, you're wrong. God forbid it. I'm not saying I forbid it, Brother Chris. He says God Almighty forbids saying to you that it's okay to sin because it's covered in grace. That is a dangerous way to live. God's grace is wonderful, and yes, thank God, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, but because he's given me grace, I don't desire to hurt him. It's not a license to sin. It should be a motive to please him. Some people think people trying to live for the Lord's in bondage, like they're in bondage. They're, you know, well, you got to live. No, it's not. I mean, not if you understand grace and that what he's done for me, that ought to conquer us. It ought not give us a license to sin. It ought to give us a motive to please him, to give him our best. Yes, because he will forgive me. Praise God. I want to love him more because of who he is. And so this is a faulty argument. And by the way, I've learned that most of the time when someone wants to argue with you about something like this, all they're trying to do is give you an excuse to do wrong. That's all they're doing. By the way, if I'm going to try to excuse myself from doing wrong, I'm going to do the same thing. So he's dealing with this. And notice what he said. Here's the answer. God forbid. I believe he said it dogmatic. When he was writing it, I think when he got that to that last word, I think he wrote it with exclamation. Why? He says, God forbid. Why? Think of it. Those who've been saved, you've been saved. You know the good grace of God. Who in the world that has truly been saved wants to go out and seek to sin? Now, we fail, and let me just say this, we're all going to struggle. But those who have been saved, resurrected in Christ, have been given new desires. Desire to live for the Lord. He is not advocating sinless perfection here. Like our Nazarene brethren, or Nazarene friends, I should say. You know, there's some said, oh, you can reach the, you know, there was a great preacher of yesterday, I can't think of his name, he believed you could... Bud Robinson, he believed that you could get to a place where you no longer sin. You're not going to find that in the Bible. Uncle Bud Robinson believed you could get to a place. He's not advocating sinless perfection. Because I want to tell y'all something with the truth and the fact, and y'all all know it. We're all going to struggle with our flesh and sin until we die or till the Lord comes. So we understand that. But he says, God forget. He's not advocating sinless perfection, but he is talking about a genuine desire to please the Lord. He's not advocating that sinless perfection, but he's genuinely desiring to please the Lord. No doubt we're going to continue to struggle with our flesh. We're going to struggle with our desires, but we should not be actively seeking to engage in sin. Just realize, we must realize, living a life dead to sin requires one little word that I think we've lost in humanity. Effort. You know, I've learned something about people. Do you know why a lot of people just won't do right? It takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. It's easier to let stuff go. It's easier to sweep stuff under the rug. It's easier to say, oh, that's just the way it is. No, my Bible tells me that we have to choose to do right. We got to work at it. Got to work at it. I want every one of these young people to look at me. Y'all are here tonight. And I care for all of you. I love y'all. I want the best for you. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Your home will not be what it should be without effort. You got to put work in. And when you think you've done enough, you need to do more. Effort. See, this desire that he's talking about here, this struggle with sin or being dead to sin, this answer is we must realize living a life dead to sin, we have a choice. Some people want to live in the mystical all the time and say, oh, if the Lord wanted, he'll do it. No. Wait a minute. When you got saved, the Bible says your old man has been crucified, but listen to me, your old man's still alive. Your old man still struggles. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, he said, hey, what I wanted to do, I didn't do, but the things I didn't want to do, that's what I did. What's he said? He said, I have a choice to make. My flesh is always present with me. It's always telling me to do this. It's always telling me to do this, to live for me, to make choices for me. But he says, I can't. I've got to choose the Spirit. Reckon myself dead. It's choice. It takes effort. We must choose. So when we think about this, being dead to sin, yes, and we're going to talk about sanctification, we're going to talk about the resurrection and all of these things, but quickly we must understand this. We must realize we must choose to honor the Lord. You choose, I choose to obey or I choose to disobey. It's a choice. You take two people, one goes off and they hear the same things, they hear the same truths. Why sometimes is there a difference in a way of life? Because one chooses to hear and heed, and the other one hears, disobeys. Two choices. It wasn't that God showed more favor to him. It wasn't that God showed more. It wasn't even that they're better than the other. They chose different paths. Choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, what did he say? I might serve the Lord. I think I'll serve the Lord. No, he set the family down and he said, look, we're going to serve God around here. Choice. He had a backbone like an oak log and not everybody understood him, but he stood, Brother Larry. We need more of that today. I see a lot of pansy, whamsy, flimsy stuff, but we need some men with some backbones that tells the world, you can have the world, give me Jesus. You might be ridiculed, but you're going to choose in this day to do right. Quit caving. I'm so sick of seeing people cave and get weak and get loose. Stay strong. Every young man here ought to get you some convictions and stand on them and not budge. They don't budge. Convictions from the Bible doesn't waver. If they were good 15 years ago, Brother Don, they're good today. Society doesn't change them. Choose to do right. It's a choice. Every one of you young people, every one of you, every one of you, we're choosing to come and get you to church. But listen to me. It's a chance. It's a lifeline. but I can't come home with you. Not one person here can come home with you. But the Lord's going home with you if you're saved. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, He's convicting you, He's teaching you, He's guiding you, but He ain't going to make you. You got to choose. Choose to do right. Choose to live for the Lord. This dying to sin, choice. It's choice. We must realize it's a choice. So we see the argument, the answer, the confusion, but let's look quickly at the consecration. I got to hurry. How to obtain a consecrated life? Well, first of all, we see it by the association. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Now, here's the association. When you get saved, you're baptized at that very moment in the spirit and the body of Christ. So when all these people are like, oh, you got to get baptized. Yeah, you're right, you do. But that happens at salvation. He's not talking about water baptism here. He makes that clear in just a bit. But what is he trying to teach here? He's associating over Jesus Christ. We're identifying with his death. What is baptism? What is it? What is associated with baptism? When we do water baptism, what is that a picture of? Y'all know what it is? Death, burial, resurrection. It's a picture. You know what baptism is? The association. When you get baptized, that means that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was put in a borrowed tomb and he raised from the dead. You're associating. What's that picture on the outside is showing what happened on you on the inside. You got saved. Jesus Christ paid for your sin. So the association that we are identifying with Jesus Christ helps us to understand. It speaks to our dying to the old man of sin, resurrected as a new creature. Where are the new creatures? When someone gets saved, the Bible says what? You become a what? A fixed up creature? A patched up band-aid creature? Come on. No, a what one? New ain't old. New's different. New's different. So the association that we find here, we're placed in the body of Christ. Now, I want to clarify. Paul's not speaking of water baptism here. It's a picture. It's an outward picture, outward testimony of what took place inwardly when you got saved. Right? It's inward change that has taken place. You're baptized of the Spirit the moment of salvation. The avenue. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him. Now, that's interesting. Buried with Him. It's impossible to be alive in Christ apart from death to sin through Him. We're buried in Him. Through this death on the cross, Christ defeated sin, death, and the grave. He obtained absolute victory. So we too must identify with His death, dying out to the old man. That's the avenue. Quickly, the awareness. Look at verse 4. I love this, raised up. Look at the last part of 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, but He didn't leave us there, that like as Christ, what's that next two words? Was raised up. Praise God for being raised up. Praise God we ain't, Brother Bach, we've never drowned anybody in the baptistry. Why? Because He's raised up. Jesus Christ raised up. What's that mean? Well, as Christ rose from the dead, He obtained victory. Sin was defeated. Death was defeated. Hell was defeated. Death was defeated. So by Adam, what? What were we by Adam? We're dead, right? Adam, we were dead. So unless something happened, we're going to remain dead, because by our father Adam was dead, so were we dead. So something had to happen. Somebody had to be raised up. Thank God our heavenly Adam through Christ. Look here, y'all just sit still. Don't get excited tonight. But you've only been resurrected. Praise God for the three that's glad you've been resurrected. I mean, let's not show. Canadians are asking, do they show any excitement? Do they? They kind of low cone. Depends. Can we get them fired up? Well, let's act like we're in Chattanooga tonight. Now, just y'all sit still, but I mean, how many of you are saved? Well, that means you've been resurrected. That gives you enough reason to get up in the morning, even if things aren't working exactly like they should, and you can at least put a smile on your face and get through the day. Because you're resurrected. That's the awareness. Desire to live his way. And then quickly, the consolation. Verse 5 through 7, I love this. But for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, not thinking this, but knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So quickly, look at the number one, our resurrection. Can I just say, there's nothing I long to go back to. I'm being honest with you. I know what it was like prior to me trying to serve the Lord, live the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you. There's nothing back there for me but heartbreak, loss, hurt, bondage, confusion, no purpose. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have no desire to go back. I have none. Why? Because I've been resurrected. I see there's a better way. There's a better option. And so we understand there's nothing I long to go back to. I have new life in Christ. I have new man. I have new life. And then quickly, our sanctification, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so he's talking about this. Before salvation, before I got saved, before you got saved, you didn't have another option. You didn't know any other way. You know, I don't think Sister Melissa would mind me saying this, but I was sitting at the hospital with her the other day, and, you know, she said some encouraging things to me. She said, you know, I didn't know any different. She said, I had been thinking about a lot of things that I was, but she said, I didn't think of what I wasn't. See, when you don't have Christ, you don't know any different. These people in Alaska and people who've never heard, they don't know there's a better way. They don't even know. They don't even have another option. They are in sin, and all they know is their old man. They only know their fleshly desires. They don't know what sanctification is. They don't know a better option. Neither did we. But when we got saved, Brother Shawn, he showed us there's a better way. There's new life in Christ. And what I want to say to Christians is, when are we going to tell our faces that? When are we going to quit acting like the world and act so defeated all the time and claim this promise and realize, hey, there was a worse day when I was in sin. I didn't know any better. I know there's hope now. Didn't even know any better. But let me just say, when you get in Christ, all that changes. Who do you think turned the light bulb on? You? Me? I didn't just wake up one day and say, I'll tell you what, I've been living awful and there's a better way. No, I'm going to tell you what, God showed up. And I hate to tell you, I wish I could have told you that I gave in to him without any brokenness. But I'm going to tell you, he had to get my attention. And when he did, I thought, this can't be all there is to life. Because I've certainly made a mess of it. There must be a better way. Thank God he showed up. And I'll tell you where he showed up, Brother Shawn. 1600 Temple Street, middle room in a second bedroom of the house I grew up in. Laying on a bed, broken, my life was ruined. I thought I had made a mess of my life because I'd followed everything that I thought was right. But thank God, on that bed that day, he showed up and showed me there's a better way. Thank God for the day he did that for me. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't ever want to go back. And since that day till now, he's put a desire in my heart that is abnormal to serve him. Our sanctification. He enables us to live another way. Y'all hear me? He enables us to live another way. You can't do it alone. You can't do it yourself. I can't do it myself. He enables us. He sanctifies us. And it's a progressive work. And then quickly, our emancipation. Now, y'all, don't y'all get excited about that last verse 7? I mean, we've just been freed. Y'all know what the Emancipation Proclamation is? Y'all need to read history. That's a pretty important document for the American history. Freed to who? Slaves. Well, I just want to help y'all with something. We were all slaves in bondage of sin. Praise God, somebody freed us. He's freed us. So you got a reason to be depressed tomorrow? Not really, because you've been freed. Now, if you want to be depressed and think on the wrong, go right ahead, but you don't have to, because you've just been freed, right? You've just been freed. If the worst thing happens to you, Miss Lauren, you got to go home and put up with me all night. You've been freed. Brother Bach, go to Alaska. Go to Canada. Tell all those people up there they've been freed. The price has been paid. And Jesus is his name. Let's stand.